Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand. We are sponsored by the High Tea Cafe and also a number of books on the homepage there, including The Range of Illusion and How to Get Crowdfunding by Kevin Lawton, or something of that nature. The banners are up on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And bear in mind, this is a listener-supported broadcast, so the vast majority of funding that we use to, you know, pay the bills and everything comes from you, the listener. This isn't corporate media. This is real media, so it doesn't... I'm not going to be able to get corporate sponsorship, I don't think. However, sponsorship from the people is more than possible and have been running off it for at least the last 4+ years. So go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and donate or start up a regular gift today, either through the PayPal or the KiwiBank account. My very special guest today is Ava Moore. Ava, welcome to the program.
Hi, Vinny. Thanks for having me.
Now, we're having a chance to do a bit of an update on Bill Brockbrader's status. And I'm sorry, we've been putting this off again and again. I've had so much on. But, yeah, please give us a little bit of the news.
Right. Well, thank you for having me again. So there's been a lot going on, and I'm going to try and condense as much as possible. I have something that I would like to read. Can I start with a poem? I know it's like... I actually received this poem today, and it was from a guy within the federal prison system. I think it's fitting. It says, "We want them to have self-worth, so we take or destroy what they have of value. We want them to be responsible, so we take away all responsibility. We want them to be part of the community, so we isolate them from our community. We want them to be positive and constructive, so we degrade and make them less than useless. We want them to be trustworthy, so we put them where there is no trust. We want them to be nonviolent, so we put them where violence is all around them. Today, this is what I received from an unnamed prison guard." So, thank you for letting me start with that. I think that is something that can be seen as the foundation to which the entire world is running. And the encouragement is to stay in victim mentality and to, you know, surrender and defeat and, you know, lick your wounds. Well, that's not the case here. So I'm going to read something else just to kind of conceptualize everything. I wrote it down because... otherwise, I will ramble and take up the majority of the 25 minutes I have. Bill Brockbrader is a political prisoner and human rights activist who is currently serving a 22-month of 30-month sentence in a federal detention in SeaTac, Seattle, Washington. Bill was eligible to be moved to a halfway house on March 12th, though that move was deferred and has yet to occur. Bill's next significant date is June 12th, when he will be eligible to move to a home confinement-like scenario. With good time applied, Bill will ultimately be released from his incarceration September 12th, 2014. Even if he's not released to halfway house or to home confinement, he will be released by September 12th, 2014. On March 24th, Bill filed his appellate brief for the direct appeal of his criminal trial. In this brief, he points out indisputable evidence of prosecutorial misconduct and court misconduct, the elicitation of false and misleading statements from a deputy Nevada attorney general that testified at his trial, and that the laws that were used to convict violate the Constitution's ban of ex post facto and double jeopardy punishment. The immediate reaction of the prosecution was to attempt to strike Bill's brief, his appellate brief, as they successfully did with much of his evidence he tried to submit during his trial, and to request a three-month extension in response to the brief. Normally, it only takes 30 days, and 30 days is usually what's given to respond. Though their extension request was successful, they were unable to strike the brief, and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ordered that it be filed. This was a victory for Bill and his attorney, as the government has been completely successful to this point in suppressing the truth in his trial and eliciting seemingly damaging testimony from Bill himself. During the time and timing of his appeal, Bill was to be released, but however was instead, on March 21st, 2014, moved into solitary confinement. He was held in a special housing unit called the SHU at SeaTac for 19 days for investigation. He was released without any disciplinary action normally associated with an investigation.
So they shooed him from the SHU.
Yeah. After 19 days, they held him without reason for 19 days without explanation as to why. So that was really interesting. During this time, there was much in the news about the effects of prisons using solitary confinement and the effect on prisoners and the human rights issues that occur as a result. There was a huge meeting with the subcommittee and Senator Durbin, and also the woman Piper, who's responsible for Orange is the New Black. There was a huge testimony given around solitary confinement and the effects on the inmates. So it was right around the same time. It was really interesting to see this happen. Much has been said of the videos that have been created to discredit Bill, namely an ex-retired SEAL. Bill is looking forward to addressing all of these videos himself when he is released. And the people that make these videos, you have to understand, there's money that is thrown to people to ensure disinformation gets out there. It's a billion-dollar industry, COINTELPRO, CIA. It's, you know, and so anytime you see a lot of effort, like it even made it to the news in Virginia Beach, which is the head of the, you know, SEAL Team 6, Dev Grew home, you know. So to make it to the news, that means they had to like amp it up to another level. So Bill is looking forward to addressing all of this himself. While Bill has been incarcerated, he continues to work towards the future and bring about necessary changes in the world. Bill has much to thank and give to those that have supported him on this journey. He also must give thanks to the people who have supported me and stuck by me, because I could not have done this alone. And I just want to say thank you to everyone out there who has the capacity to go intrinsically and discern from themselves and hold space until a time where they can discern completely if they can't in any given moment, which I will admit, Vinny, like in the last 2 years, it has been like light speed learning curve for me. I've been boot camping it and working for a lot of answers, and it's not been easy, but it's been an honor. Bill has been inspired by the work going on with the quantum energy generator, Hope Girl, and the QEG it's called. He intends to build a proof of concept model of the QEG when he is released. And he's actually asking if he could have, if there are people out there that can hear this, he's looking for support to start the building of the rotor so that it's ready when he gets out. And because he's got a background in laser engineering, he knows how to cut the steel. The funny thing is while he was in solitary confinement, he wanted me to send him the schematics for the QEG. I'm not sure if you've followed that, but it's an over unity generator. And I sent the proof of concepts to him while he was in solitary. He did receive them, approve them, and is like scratching at his eyeballs to get out, because 2 years ago he was talking about needing an over unity generator to come forward so that he could partner it with a hydroxy generator, which he built one in 2010 and took it to Harry Reid's office, Senator Harry Reid in Nevada. So there's a lot of things that are falling into place, which he kind of foresaw coming into place. And he's super, super excited. So he wants to build this proof of concept that would take an over unity generator and partner it with a hydroxy generator. And its ability to use power to a 40 kilowatt internal combustion engine generator. It's also his intention to work towards supporting Elizabeth Warren, which is interesting, who she is asking to be taken off the presidential ballot. They keep running her names in the polling, but she keeps saying she doesn't want to be president. And he said, who else could you think to want to vote for than somebody who's like saying they don't want the job? That's the president we want. I thought that was pretty funny. The positive changes that those of us to have sought after in the world are occurring, and they are occurring slowly but surely. The system is starting to clean itself out. It's just, I think the majorities are still kind of captivated in entertainment mode, and we're dealing with a generation of gamers who have to understand that that's what this life is all about. This life is a game. And instead of sitting sedentary, the laws of physics and the laws of gravity are the dictating parameters, you know, for programming coding. And so we have to start to get up and program the reality that we want, and stop playing with the controller. We need to take control. So I believe very wholeheartedly that intrinsically, there's been a lot of changes that have occurred in the last 2 years, and it's just taking the external world to catch up a little bit. He came forward, Bill came forward in 2012 in a Project Camelot interview with Carrie Cassidy, 17 days after the announcement and enactment of the NDAA's partnership in Agenda 21-like scenario. He did so in the hopes of bringing light to the connection to the use of Tomahawk missiles and their modern-day advancement towards drone technology. Bill began his naval career in 91 as a front fire controlman, or weapons electronic specialist. So fire controlman or weapons electronic specialist. His path took a dramatic turn when he accepted an assignment to a special mission unit, SMU, to operate as a controller of Tomahawk missiles similar to that in the Air Force forward air controllers. He received the same training that all Navy SEALs receive, with additional training to use of the equipment that controls Tomahawk missiles during their thermal phase on their mission. This was done to improve accuracy and effectiveness of the weapons while limiting collateral damage as much as possible. Operators were also able to conduct after-action damage assessment to ensure the success of each mission. These operators were commonly referred to as the Nines, or Nines, a tongue-in-cheek reference to the obvious lack of SEAL Team 9 in the Navy's naming convention of SEAL teams. That's the Navy War Development Group, DevGru. The Nines were never officially designed as Navy SEALs, and its existence was suppressed in much of the same way as SEAL Team 6 is the unofficial name of the Naval Warfare Development Group, DevGru, and therefore does not itself exist. Its existence was suppressed until supposed killing of Osama bin Laden in May 2011. Now this name, SEAL Team 6, is widely known and acknowledged, but until this event, it existed in conversation only and officially was denied. Bill was stationed on AEGIS, I don't know that term, ship platform, as well as ships that regularly had a SEAL compartment on board to further conceal the existence of his SMU. Bill conducted dozens and dozens of missions throughout his career, despite his concerns that his missions were becoming less military and more terroristic in nature. This all came to a head when, during one mission, Bill chose to divert a second missile attack on the same target in order to prevent deaths of many innocent people attempting to rescue the victims of those that were first attacked. So that's called double striking, and it's geared towards murdering the rescue aid workers or, you know, human beings that happened to be in proximity to the first detonation who had enough heart and soul to try and help those that may have just been hit with either shrapnel or, you know, in line of fire. The concept is now widely known about and understood by the term double strike. It was because of the act that Bill found himself court-martialed for unrelated charges that had the effect of bringing him back to the program. His conviction was also kept over him for the rest of his career so that he would continue to execute missions without questions and the effects that they might have. Bill would argue that his mission was revealed in abstract in Jeremy Scahill's last book, Dirty Wars. In this book, which was published after Bill first came out, Scahill quotes General Hugh Shelton, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff during Clinton, as saying, "They are a surgical type of unit. They are not used to assault a fortress or anything. That's what the Army and Marine Corps do. But if you need someone that can skydive from 30 miles away, go down the chimney of a castle and blow it up from the inside, these are the ones you want to call on." Now, in this book, Jeremy Scahill's Dirty Wars, that is a reference to the program, going down the chimney of a castle to blow it up from the inside. What is being referred to there is by Tomahawk, basically driving it vertically down into the ground so that it ignites under the soil and basically collapse the building. So that's a really interesting quote from Jeremy Scahill's book. Bill also talks about common maneuvers such as flight paths of airliners that hit the Pentagon and 9/11. It doesn't take much to estimate that the amount of explosive that would have been needed to blow up a castle from the inside would exceed the amount that could be carried by a standard SEAL platoon skydiving 30 miles away. So what he's trying to say is that, you know, basically the partnership of the SEAL teams with the Tomahawks in the early 1990s to, you know, currently, you know, based on what Jeremy Scahill is saying and shedding light on JSOC. Recently, there was a killing of a 16-year-old boy in Yemen who was labeled a terrorist because of his father's religious political beliefs. And so this 16-year-old boy was killed in Yemen. Bill is currently still in SeaTac. He is an operator. And what I've come to realize is there's been purpose to everything that's happened in the last 2 years. And it's been an interesting turn of events. There was a scenario where both transcripts and audio recording were leaked from, we believe, the prosecution's office to this ex-retired SEAL, who then misdrew some of the information. He made reference to it as if it was from the trial, and it, in fact, was not from the trial, which is really interesting. And these are the types of things that Bill looks forward to talk about when he does get out. But I think the way that anyone who is kind of sitting back, scratching their head, or wanting, you know, a brief snapshot response, the idea is basically that he pulled a Galileo and had to go into basically, you know, like a chess maneuver where he was being positioned to argue truth only to have that truth be potentially used as a third strike in comparison with the scripted original transcripts. And that would equal to perjury, which would have taken Bill out of the game. So he had to kind of make some sacrifices in the interim so that he could wait until his appeal, because that is the reality, is that they knew that in appeal, Bill's charges would be overturned, and they didn't care. They were willing to do whatever it took to lie, they being the prosecutor and the Nevada AG, the attorney general, to basically ensure that he was shut up for the last 2 years. And this is important, i.e. why you should care, is because, you know, for those of you that have had the opportunity to see the very final transcripts from his sentencing, you'll recall that he makes reference to a letter that was written and submitted to the court as evidence. And in this letter, it's basically a soft confession that the situation that was orchestrated fictitiously in the 98 original charges, where he was found guilty of consensual sex with a minor, there is this letter that has now appeared through this recent trial that proves that the timeline that was scripted in 1998 does not match this letter. So there's evidence that's been put forward from the opposing side that contradicts. And this is good news, because without this type of situation where Bill has engaged, he would not have that evidence, which he does now. And, you know, I've kind of been an investigator. If you could imagine stumbling into, you know, Chelsea Manning's situation right now, but let's pretend that everything actually happened with Chelsea Manning in 1998, when there was no social media. You know, there's MySpace, but, you know, barely. And there was no sharing of data transfer like there is now with social media and Twitter and Facebook and, you know, Instagram hashtagging, you know. So it's a touchy subject, and one that most people get triggered before they can even hear the actual realities of what I've witnessed. And the thing that most people, I would like most people to hear, is that my reasons for being here are bigger than any personal attachment to Bill. What sustained me in the last 2 years is the reality that I myself am a victim of rape and date rape. And when I experienced this, I wanted to be able to have a better understanding of why this is happening on such a perpetually large basis. And I think that what is important is that still to this day, that girl who Bill was charged with, is still stuck in a fictitious victim role where she has not been able to privately or publicly claim a victory over that past BS victim mentality. And as a woman who was raped, this is what drives me and what bothers me the most. And for those of you that have seen the transcripts of the sentencing, you'll make note that letter and the fact that Bill self-represented in his sentencing. He did a very good job and referenced this letter and the soft confession that proves that what Bill's been saying all along is true, and that in fact the real perpetrator that abused this girl is still free. And this is a big deal because it's like a weird juxtaposition where in order for things to continue, it was like they were forcing him to lie, you know, and it's bizarre. It was bizarre for me to experience. So I understand how a lot of people are feeling. And all I can say is, you know, we just had Memorial long weekend here, Vinny, in the United States. And this is the perfect time to say, you know what, support our troops has changed. It's not what it used to be. It means getting behind people like Chelsea and Manning, who are conscientious objectors and who are standing for humanity, and people like Ethan McCord, who is basically, you know, dealing with PTSD, being pushed ridiculous amounts of pharmaceuticals, and, you know, is having to deal with the events of collateral murder, which he was in. He is the gentleman that you see in the Chelsea Manning video that she released through WikiLeaks, collateral murder. You can see Ethan McCord. Support the troops means it's time to get out of the comfort zone. And the reality is that Bill was carefully created as an operator, and he came forward to say, you know, the United States has been in the murder business, and that is what they don't want. They don't want the American people to have to face the realities of defense contracts and drones. And, you know, they want to be able to, like, navigate. And I tagged you in last week an article about the New Zealand, I think, I can't remember who it was, but basically one of the prominent political persons in New Zealand being pro-drone. I don't know if you got a chance to see that, Vinny, but, you know, this is...
Yeah, the Prime Minister, John Key, just says, oh, so what if we killed a New Zealander with a drone in Yemen? It's justified.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing everywhere you look. Ava Moore, ladies and gentlemen. Ava, where can people find more information about Bill and your radio show?
Yeah, thank you, Vinny. Okay, so if you would like to keep up to date, if you go to BillEva9.com, so B-I-L-L-E-V-A, the number 9.com, you can keep up to date on what's going on with Bill. If you are interested in supporting Bill's vision towards a hydroxy generator partnered with an over-unity motor, please, you know, we are looking for financial support for proof of concept. And this is something, you know, I mean, my gosh, the man was doing work in solitary confinement. There's nothing going to stop him. You know, so our lives are dedicated towards this, and any help is much appreciated. That is also available. The link to donate is on BillEva9.com. And my radio show is Evolutions. It's on Revolution Radio on Sunday evenings at 7 Pacific. And the website for Revolution Radio is freedomslips.com. And that's Sundays at 7 Pacific, 7 p.m. Pacific. So thank you for having me and being able to share this. I know that there's so much going on now. It's easy to forget about Bill, but there are a number of people who deserve to be regularly remembered and thought of, if nothing more.
Remember all the renters and parents out there, you know what happens when you ignore your bills. Okay, Ava, thank you very much for your time, and we will see you after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you go anywhere.